holidays. You just got to love them. Holidays are just wonderful. When you're a pastor and it's a holiday, it's always kind of a challenge because you're always expected to look at the same passages and hopefully try and find maybe something a little new, a little bit different, something that'll kind of grab you and stuff. And so I was listening and talking to a few other pastors. One of them was my brother-in-law, Brian, who's I consider him whether he knows it or not, he won't admit it. He still says he's a policeman, but he's really a pastor. He really is in so many different ways. So we were visiting Friday night, and I was saying, "So, Pastor Brian," he's like, "I said, so what are you preaching on for your very first Easter?" Because, you know, this is his first Easter preaching. He says, I'm preaching on Barabbas. And I was like, Barabbas? I said, please do explain. And it was so cool, this little message he has about Barabbas, that Barabbas was really the first one that Jesus, going to the cross, saved. If you think about it, that cross was really meant for Barabbas. And it was really cool. He was talking about that, you know what, we really don't know what happened to Barabbas. He was accused of three different things, of murder and insurrection and something else. I can't remember the other one. He gave this whole little message to me, and I was having goosebumps as he was telling me, and then he brought it back to Jesus, and it was just awesome. Just an amazing little message. And then you can look at all kinds of different things in the Easter story about the rock being rolled away, and Jesus didn't need the rock rolled away. He could walk through walls that he proved later. You know what I'm saying? He didn't need the rock rolled away. It wasn't for Jesus that the rock was rolled away. It was for us. The reason the rock was rolled away is so that we could see in, not so Jesus could come out. And you can make a story about the guards. You could talk about the angels. You could talk about Mary, you could talk about Peter, you could talk about John, but really, it's all about who? It's all about Jesus. It's all about him. So I was looking at the different four stories in the different Gospels on the Resurrection Sunday, and the one that I chose, it was kind of interesting, comes out of Luke chapter 24, probably one of the more simple, less detailed accounts of the resurrection morning. So I'm going to read it to you. It's in Luke chapter 24. It says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, for those of you who were able to get up early, but those of you who were not, I'm glad you're here at 10 o'clock. Very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen." You're a little bit better than 6 o'clock. All right. He has risen. Excellent. You're getting better. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up, ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Pretty plain, pretty simple. Not a lot of details, but there's this one detail that just really grabbed me this week as I was looking at the four gospel accounts, and it's what the angel said, according to Luke, to the women who gathered that morning. And it grabbed me because of last week's message out of Mark. You see, the angel said to them, the Son of Man, here it is again, the Son of Man must, there it is, that word, must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. all four aspects are right there again. After last week, if you weren't here last week, I'm going to summarize this real quick. It must happen. Jesus must be betrayed. Jesus must be tortured. Jesus must die. And Jesus must raise from the grave. Those are must because God said they were going to happen. He prophesied all those things. And if God says something's going to happen, it is going to happen. So it had to happen this way. It was part of God's sovereign plan because God is in control. He said it was. And it is. So there's something really interesting that made me start thinking about this. You see, just 2 days earlier, when Jesus was upon the cross, he said something very interesting, his last words. If you remember, they offered him the wine vinegar. And finally he said, "It is finished." And it says, and he gave up his spirit. What's finished? And how could he say it's finished when the resurrection hadn't happened? Remember, there were four things that must happen according to God's will, according to his word, according to his promise. Four things must happen. He must be rejected. He must suffer. He must die. And he what? Must raise from the dead. So when he says it is finished, what is it that was finished? It's really interesting. Take a look with me in John chapter 17. You got to see this. John chapter 17, beginning at verse 4. I'm going to go back up to verse 1. It says, after Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you." Verse 2, "For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him." Verse 3, "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Verse 4, "I have brought you glory on this earth by completing the work that you gave to me." On this work, he's completing the work that God gave to him. What is that work? Turn with me to Mark chapter 14, or chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Very common verse. You'll know as soon as I start reading it. Mark chapter 10, verse 45, it says this, "For even the Son of Man," this is the purpose that Jesus came to the earth, "for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to" what? "And to give his life as a ransom for many." You see, when Jesus said, "It is finished," the work that he came to do while he was on this earth was the first three parts of the must, that he must be rejected, he must suffer, and he must die. You know what those three things are? Just what it says in Mark chapter 10, verse 45 here. Those three things are the ransom. It was the price that was paid. It was a sacrifice that had to be made on our behalf. It's why he came. And he knew it from the very beginning. It's why he came. It's interesting. There's so many aspects of this. There's so many parts that Jesus and God wove together from the prophecies into this point. You see, just a few days before he went to the cross, you remember he was sitting with the disciples, and we talk about this once a month at least, every time that we do communion. And Jesus says, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood for the forgiveness of sins." You remember he was saying that? He says, "Whenever you drink this, do this in remembrance of me, the cup of the new covenant." Do you remember that part? And then do you remember in Gethsemane? We could go back and read it real quick if you'd like. Remember in Gethsemane, he asked his disciples to come and pray with him. And it says that they were praying, and he says, "Will you pray with me just for 1 hour?" And then he went away, and he's praying by himself. And you remember the prayer that he says? He says, "Father, if it is possible for" what? "For this cup to be taken from me." The cup And then he goes back and he sees the disciples sleeping. He just asked them to pray for 1 hour. And he sees them sleeping. And then he goes back and he prays to the Father again. He says, if this cup cannot be taken from me, thy will be done. Thy will be done. What is this cup? Something very interesting. Take a look with me real quick in Psalm 16. Psalm 16 says this. I love this. You see, remember what I said about God's word? He says, I write it down, and if I write it down and say it's going to happen, it's going to happen. That's a part of the sovereignty of God. He's going to make sure that it happens. In Psalm 16, it says this, starting at verse 5. I love this. Listen to what it says. Lord, you have assigned me my portion. What's it say? And my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in the pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord's always before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Verse 9, therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also, listen to what he says, my body will also be secure because you will not abandon me to the grave. He will not let your Holy One, what? See decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. You see, God, this is part of his plan. From the very beginning, this has been a part of his plan. He loves you, and he paid the ransom for your life. For your life. So what is this resurrection? What is this last part of the must that we need to listen to and see and understand? Because it has to be fulfilled. So Jesus is resurrected. What is that? So I used it during the first service. I'm going to do it again. So this is a weird thing. You know, everything happens for a reason. Just as in God had a plan for his life and God is sovereign over all of our lives and all that is happening in this world, I truly believe that every day God is in complete control. We're experiencing things, good things, bad things, hard things, strange things, weird things, and every one of them has a purpose if we will look to God and find out what it is. So last week, you don't realize this, but our coffee pot went, we go through coffee pots around here like you would not believe. This is a crazy phenomenon. It really is. So our big coffee pot went crazy. It died. It no longer was making coffee. Saturday, Kathy and I realized, hey, we need to have a coffee pot so everyone can get juiced up when they get here. Everyone's awake. So we go out shopping Saturday night last week to go find a new coffee pot. It has something to do with this, I really promise. So we go out. We're going to get the best deal we can. So we go to one store. We see this coffee pot that's on clearance, and it's doing well. It's a good coffee pot. But we're thinking, well, let's not just buy the first coffee pot we see. Because, you know, we're shopping, you know what I'm saying? So we go over and we go to another store and we look at the coffee pot and it's a lot more expensive over this other place. And so I'm like, okay, I got to go back to the first place. And we bought some stuff at the first place, went through the checkout line, did all these things. And then we're coming over to the other store. It was more expensive. So Kathy says, I'm going to shop here. You go get the other coffee pot. So I go back to the first store. I'm not mentioning any names. Go back to the first store. I grab the coffee pot and there's only two of them left. All right, one's in the box and one's the display model, and that's all that's left. It's all dusty and stuff like that. And so I didn't want to buy two of them because they were still kind of expensive. So I grabbed the one box. I get to the checkout line. I pay for the thing. I also got the warranty this time. So maybe if we can remember where the warranty's at when this one goes out, maybe we can get in the free one. But anyway, does anyone else do that? I can never find the warranty. When the thing finally dies, I can never figure out where the warranty's at. So that's not a good thing. We gave it to Melissa. Hopefully Melissa will be able to hang on to it. Anyway, so I pay for the coffee pot. I remember I need softener salt. And so I say, hey, I need some softener salt. You got anything on special? And they said, yes, this one's on sale. I said, perfect. Give me 5 bags of that softener salt. They ring it up. I pay for it. They give me the receipt. They give me the little warranty thing. I put it in my pocket, and I go to get the salt. and I get to where the salt's at, and there's only one bag. I paid for five. There's only one bag left in that sale section of softener salt. And I'm like, ugh. So I go walking all the way back to the service station. I say to this gal that's behind the service station, I said, hey, I paid for these five bags, and there's only one bag there. You got some more salt like that around? She's like, yeah, I think we do. We go find the salt. I load my five bags in. I'm just getting ready to walk out the door. I'm literally right there, and all of a sudden this cheapness that I have in my own spirit, I guess. I was like, hey, I got to think about that other coffee pot, you know, the one that's all dusty and doesn't have a box, you know what I'm saying? And I know the one I bought was only a 42 cup, and I know if I only get a 42 cup, I'm going to have to make three pots of it for you guys on Sunday morning. So I'm thinking in my mind, maybe I can get that one without the box and all the dust cheap if I just go back and ask. So I go back to the first lady that I talked about the salt. And I said, hey, I was just wondering, I bought this one coffee pot. Here it is in my cart. And I was wondering, there was another one back there, the last one. It's a display model. It's all dusty. Not that that really matters. It's all dusty. Can you give me a break on that new coffee pot? Would you sell a little cheaper? No. I was like, oh, okay. I wasn't going to argue. I was just asking, you know what I'm saying? So I turn around, I'm getting ready to leave. And she goes, sir? And I said, yeah. She goes, do you have a receipt? I was like, yeah. She goes, may I see it? I was like, yeah, okay. And I reach in my pocket, and I reach in the wrong pocket, and there's nothing there. And that little panic feeling kind of, you know what I'm talking about. And then I reach in my other pocket, and it's not there. I'm wearing one of those jackets because, it was kind of cold last week. Remember the snow thing? And reach in another pocket. I finally find the receipt, and there's this relief. And I'm thinking, all I'm going to do is, show her the receipt and walk out. And she takes the receipt from me. She takes the receipt. And, you go to Sam's and stuff like that. They just, out the door. She takes the receipt, and she literally, I'm not joking, I bet she looks at my receipt for like 30 seconds. And she, I've only got six items, five bags of salt and the coffee maker. And she looks at each item, and she looks at my cart, and she, okay, thank you, and she hands it back to me. And honestly, it was kind of like, you know what I'm saying? It was kind of like a relief. And you're saying, what does this have to do with Jesus and resurrection and all this other stuff? But here's the thing. When the doors opened, when you're walking through and the doors are opened, I saw those doors opening from a whole new perspective. There was like, I'm free. You know what I'm saying? I can walk out without any guilt. I'm free. And it's been really weird all week long because I've had to go to other places. And it reminded me ever since then of the stone being rolled away. And it's finished. You see, the resurrection and the empty tomb represents the receipt. It's the reminder that the price has been paid. And there's nothing else that you need. There's nothing else that you need to do except show the receipt. Remind them of the receipt. It's been paid. I can live my life. Actually, I can live the life that he's now given me in hope, in freedom. There's something really freeing about that. The price, the ransom, it's been paid. How do I get in on that? How do I make sure that my price has been paid? That when I walk through the doors that I'll have the receipt? Because there's been times that Kathy and I go shopping. I don't know if anyone else does this. I told this story the first time. I don't know if anyone else goes shopping with their wife, but we go shopping. Anyway, we go shopping. And it's kind of one of those unwritten things that we're unloading the cart, and she's unloading, and I'm bagging, and I'm putting stuff back in the cart as quickly as I can, and a lot of times I leave her to pay the bill, and actually I take off with the whole cart full of groceries and start leaving, and she's still getting, and I'm looking at it from a whole new perspective now because I don't have the receipt. She's got that receipt. I have to trust that she paid the price so we can get out. How can I know that my price, my ransom, has been paid? How can you know? Because here's the thing. Every one of us, every one of you, is going to stand before the Maker, and he's going to say, why should I open the door for you? What gives you the right to come through? To go live life for eternity? I didn't say this at the first service, but this is kind of a weird thought in my mind. Wouldn't it be horrible to go into the store and have all the stuff? You know what I'm saying? It's all there for it's all there. I mean, you got a grill, you got a TV, you've got all the luxuries of life right there in the store. But you're never able to go out and use it. Never. You're just amongst the stuff. How valuable would that stuff be if you're never able to use it? Think about having to walk around Walmart for the rest of your life and never be surrounded by all this stuff, but never be able to enjoy any of it. Would it be that important to you? Would you be like, oh, wow, this is the coolest new game. I love this game. This is such a cool game. Man, look at the steak. Man, this is a steak. You know what I'm saying? This is a steak. How exciting would it be if you never got to play the game, though, or eat the steak, or enjoy any of it? You see, the only way that you can really enjoy life is be able to go through those doors and really experience the blessings that God's got for you. How can you know that you have the receipt? That the door will be open? It's pretty simple. It's real simple, actually. If you have your Bible, turn with me real quick to Mark chapter 1. I'm almost done. Mark chapter 1. Right at the very beginning. There's a guy named John the Baptist, and he lays it out in no uncertain terms. No, it is Jesus. I'm sorry. Mark chapter 1, beginning at verse 14, it says, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news. The good news, the gospel message. He's proclaiming it. And here's the gospel message. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. The simple answer is, you know you have the receipt if you repent and believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. If you repent and believe that Jesus was rejected, that he suffered, that he died, and he rose again. That rose again is the most important part, because it rose again. If he is still in the tomb, if he did not raise, you do not have a receipt. But he raised. He's alive. And that is our receipt, because he has conquered death. And if he conquered death, we also can have that same promise. We have to believe. Now, I think it's very interesting in Luke, the story that I just read to you, the account of the gospel message. Listen to what it says real quick. I'm going to remind you. It says, when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanne, Mary the mother of James, and the others with him, who told these to the apostles. But what does it say? But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. After being told time after time by Jesus himself, even when we talked about it last week, Jesus says, I must suffer. I must be rejected. I must die. And I must raise again. And Peter even rebuked him. Do you remember? He rebuked him. He says, no. And then Jesus rebuked Peter and said, yes, it must happen. They didn't believe. I love it here in, I love Luke's. No, is it Luke? In Mark chapter 16. I'm just going to speak it to you. In Mark chapter 16, I believe it is, that's when Thomas, remember Thomas? He said, you know what, I'm not going to believe unless if I stick my fingers in the hole and stick my hand in his side. And finally Jesus appears to Thomas and he says, here's my hands, here's my side. He says, no, I believe. And what did Jesus say to them? He says, blessed are you because you believe, because you have seen and believe, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. It all stems on believing that the price and the ransom was paid and that he's alive today. Do you believe? You know what? I would have loved to be able to see the scars. I would have loved to be a part of that breakfast of fish and unleavened bread that day. I would have loved to seen but there's something really special when you finally say, yes, I believe. I believe that the tomb was empty. I believe that the ransom was paid for me. And when that happens, all of a sudden, it's not something that you have to just believe. Because the ransom has been paid, the new covenant is made, and God dwells with you. You can eat with the risen Savior. You can talk with the risen Savior. And Jesus is as alive today to me as any one of you are. He's risen. Do you believe? In between services, I'm done. I just got to let you in on what's going on next week because I want to invite you back. In between services, I did a quick little study on this word believe. And we're going to talk what it means to believe next week. What it really means to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You see, sometimes I think we have this academic mindset of what believe is, and it's so very much more. Next week, come back and understand more fully the belief in Christ.